Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading, also the author of Turner's Take Newsletters. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com, turnerstakeag.com, or on Twitter at Turner's Take. So some pretty interesting stuff coming out today. Another thing, too, is that we work with a lot of traders here, online, broker-assisted. I work a lot with grains traders and also farmers who need to hedge in the market. So you can always find me in the show notes or on the website with my information there. All right. So big news today is there was a story that came out that China might be buying U.S. corn, which... if true, I would have thought corn would have been up 5 to 10 cents today. Now, I think I figured out what happened. Sounds like China did come in, buy about 500 to 600,000 metric tons of corn for summer delivery. So that's the story going around. I really haven't seen it out of a big, major news organization. But I have seen it in, you know, around a few parts of the web and Twitter and, you know, from some of the traders that we talk to. We've also been hearing a story, which I thought was unrelated, but I think it could be related, of China not wanting to take corn as loan repayment from Ukraine anymore. So this is a story that has been on and off for the past couple of years. And the background is Ukraine has debt that they owe to China. Ukraine has had a tough time repaying that. And in the past, what Ukraine has said to China is like, hey, listen, we owe you X amount of money. Instead of making, you know, loan payment, you know, let's deal in grain. So, you know, and then count that against our loans so we don't have to pay you back the cash. China doesn't want to deal with that. You know, they basically say, hey, listen, we're going to pay you for the corn, you're going to pay us back on the loan, you know, which makes sense. I mean, you know, China may have loaned out Ukraine, and then the people who, you know, then want to buy the corn may not be China, might be a state operation or a private operation that just deals, you know, through China or, you know, the grain buyers there, and maybe not all the same entities. So China, to keep it cleaner, they probably just want to, you know, I'll pay for my corn, and then you pay us back cash, and, you know, for the loans, and that's how it works. So what I'm thinking, and this is my gut now, this is just my own analysis, is that China's trying to play a little hardball with Ukraine and be like, okay, listen, if you're not going to pay us back on these loans and we don't want to take your corn as form as repayment, we want cash, you know, we can always go down the block and buy from the United States. Now, I still think, just looking at the numbers, it still makes sense for China to buy from Ukraine, because to them, when you figure in the prices and the shipping and all that stuff, it's still cheaper, I think, to go through Ukraine. I mean, not by a lot, but enough, you know, enough to keep on using them. But, you know, I mean, Mexico is buying some corn other than the United States also, and it's costing a little bit more, and they're trying to send the message to the United States. So I wouldn't be... part of me thinks that this is all just going to be about China sending a message to Ukraine, so it might be a limited amount of corn they're buying, which is why I think corn's only up 1 to 2 cents on this news. Now, we were down a couple of cents before it came out, so maybe the net change was really 4 or 5 cents. But something like this could usually send corn up, you could make the argument it should have been up 5 or 10 cents today on news like that. And I think the market's taken it with a grain of salt, too. One, haven't seen it come out of a major news organization yet, right? So it's, I don't think it's rumor, it's just that the places it's coming out of just aren't the big Reuters, Bloomberg, Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal type spots that you usually see. And then second, I think there are a lot of traders and brokers and analysts like me that think, oh, maybe China is just trying to send the message. So we'll see. But definitely, I'll keep an eye on that. And if you get, I was writing about it earlier in Turner's Take Ag Marketing. If you get that newsletter, you would have seen that come out before the podcast, you know, and explaining what's going on here. So if you're not a client, or if you're a client, definitely sign up for that if you don't have it already. If you're not a client, you can go to the Daniels Trading, or you can go to my website, turnerstakeag.com, and take a trial to that. So that's what's going on corn. You know, we have beans down 7. Oats, I don't know what happened with oats today. Oats is tough to get information on. You don't get a lot of news and analysts. You don't get a lot of farmers dealing with oats anymore unless you work in a certain area of the country. You know, all the clients I used to have that did oats were, a lot of them were Canadian. And to make a long story, if you're a U.S. broker, it's hard. The Canadian government makes it hard for you to do business in Canada. You have to have an actual physical location in each province. It's not like the United States. You know, you register with the SEC, CFTC, whatever it is, and then you're registered basically to do business in all 50 states. But in Canada, you have to register for each province. You know, so British Columbia, Quebec, whatever, you know, Manitoba, Saskatchewan. You have to register with each one and approved. And then I think you also have to have a physical location in each one, too. So I don't have as much oats information as I used to, just primarily because the clients that I used to deal with used to be up there that did it. And also with rapeseed, too, canola. You see more canola in Canada than you would with the average U.S. farmer, too. So anyways, oats is up 8 cents today. Would love to know the story on that. It looks like we're testing some highs here, though. I mean, there's this old saying that oats knows. I mean, that's an old saying. You know, basically what it used to be is back before cars, you know, horses and mules were the big industrial, you know, moving of goods. You know, that's how you did it before cars and railroad and stuff like that. So when that was still prevalent in basically moving goods and services around, or goods around, I should say, you know, if oats prices went up, that's what was feeding the horse. It was kind of like, you know, energy to production in the modern day, you know, in the modern day economy. So that's why sometimes people say oats knows. It's an old, old trading saying that it was more relevant when, you know, you had horses pulling wagons. But oats is up 9 cents, and there is some relationship in protein and feed, you know, with the corn side. So keep an eye on that. Soybeans are breaking lower. Okay, so here's the thing with the grains trade that you got to keep in mind. March is a bearish time usually for the grain markets, if there's no issues going on in South America. So I still think corn and beans are going to leak lower here. I would like to see November soybeans catch some support at 980. You know, in terms of like May beans are going to, we're at $10. We're trying to break through that. If we do break through that, you know, you can make the case we go down to the 960, 970 level. So if you're a farmer, I would, you know, we did sell a lot of beans at 1030, or we bought the puts, or, you know, we had sell stops right around this level, actually, to start getting short if the market, you know, fell down. So, yeah, I would just stick with that in terms of marketing. I wouldn't cover any hedges or anything like that. If you do want to take a look at re-ownership in soybeans, I think you can wait. But if you just want to put on something just to have it for old crop, the July versus November spread is at 15 cents, July trading over November. I do think we can keep on coming down on that. I wouldn't be surprised if we got to 10. Soon as if we did start getting to zero on July versus Nov, I'd probably start looking to buy it. Not because I'm all that bullish on soybeans. It's just that weather issues can pop up. Not in March, but as we get into to May and definitely June, you can see U.S. weather issues pop up. And that's the time when sometimes a spread like no versus July beans can really, you know, can really trade in May and June. So I would keep an eye on that too. There is a spread I've been talking about for a long time. It's the July versus December corn. It's been up and down. We've been up on it. We've been down on it. I'm down on it a little bit right now. It's still something that I hold as a re-ownership play, as a small spec play. If we get, you know, corn is, we got second crop Safrina corn coming in, you know, into a critical growing period now in South America. I would keep an eye on that. That's a potential catalyst for corn market. So would be lower acres if we see lower corn acres at the end of the month. So could this Chinese story buying corn from the United States. Otherwise, though, in March, we do tend to see a slow grind lower in corn as more corn comes to market and less is bought in the United States. So, I don't know, my bias right now is still a little bit lower in corn unless we get some big big demand news or issues with that second crop in South America with the corn. And then you can see a potential demand driver. Okay, so that's what's going on there. Keep an eye on potential rate hikes. There has been some stories coming out lately about not only will the next Fed meeting have a rate hike, but it could be a little bit bigger. You know, maybe it's a half a point instead of a quarter point. I found that pretty interesting. So that could be, you know, that'd be strong for the dollar. That could put commodities in general as a headwind. And in terms of commodities getting dragged down a little bit from outside markets or just other than grain markets, crude oil has been a story here. If you take a look at crude, like May crude, we're at $48. We were in the mid-50s, trading between 52, 53, 54, 55, 56 since December. So let's just talk crude for a second. Since OPEC came out and said they were going to basically cut production to keep levels, prices high, we saw the hedge fund position get bigger, and we saw crude trade basically in a very tight range for crude for about 2 to 3 months, where we were in between $52 and $56, we'll say. And then this is what happened. You know, we were talking about, like, you know, the market will believe it until we see it. And then if OPEC really was able to cut down production and we'd see draws on world stocks, and then I was saying we could hit $60 if they really can do it. But we were skeptical because, you know, if OPEC doesn't produce oil and they cut back, there are other big producers out there, the United States being one of them in the shale industry, to make up for that production. So what have we seen? I think what we've seen is the U.S. market really make up the difference there and take market share away, basically from the OPEC countries, so that we're cutting. So what happened? We've broken down below 53 or 52 in May crude, and now we're at 48. I would not be surprised to see low 40s in crude here. Because at some point, OPEC's going to say, you know what, we're losing market share, we might as well just pump anyways. And the United States is already pumping. And if they were hedging on the futures markets at 50, you know, in the mid-50s or in the deferred months, you know, closer to 60, then they're just going to keep on pumping because they're hedged. So, you know, I mean, that's what we do in the grain markets, right? We get above $10 a new crop, you got to hedge some. That's what we did. You know, I'm sure if, you know, I'm not an energy broker, you know, for these big oil companies, but if I were, or if I were a banker, I would have said, hey, you know, back in January, December crude was getting close to $60. You're going to be pretty, you know, if I were the banker or their advisor on the brokerage side, I'd say, you need to hedge some futures here. And that way, if the market does break down to the low 40s, you're still pumping because you already sold that crude, you know, for high 50s. So I think that could have happened too. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, at least for the rest of this year, some more pumping. I doubt companies hedged out past December of 2017. That's usually not how it works. They could have, but I doubt it. So that's what I'll be looking for on the crude. I'm going to think we're going to try to sell some rallies here if crude can rally, if we can get any kind of like news in the Middle East of fighting. You know, OPEC might try to, rally the markets again about saying further cuts. If we do see that, I do think that's going to be a selling opportunity, whether it be in buying puts, you know, selling the top of the range again, using future spread. So that's something I'll be writing about. I think I kind of missed it the last time around when I was down in San Antonio. I think the market just broke when I got back. So I was disappointing, but I'm definitely look to sell the next rally that comes up, and I'll keep everyone on the Turner's Take newsletter. And crude oil can really have a big impact on what's going on in a lot of the other commodity markets. So lastly, I just want to talk quickly about hogs. You know, we had talked about that April versus June spread and how we were bear spread from about, around 8. Well, and then we got out around 9.5 and 9, concerned that we might reverse because April hogs futures prices were at such a discount to the cash. Well, April is now above 70. We're almost at 71. We're catching up with the cash price. April versus June is now gone to minus 825. I wouldn't be surprised if we tested those highs of minus 7.5. At that point, I think I'd probably like to then go the other way and get either bear spread again. And it doesn't have to be April, June. It could be June versus another month. But I will be looking into that again. So I do think we still have some more upside in that April versus June spread. I think we will top out here. Maybe around 7.5. At that point, you got to think to yourself, there are hogs coming in. And also, the big point with that spread is, and you can go to the CME website and check out the cash index, which actually, I'm going to just put this on hold and check it right now. Hold on a second. All right, so the lean hogs index is about 72.15, 72.25. You know, a couple of days ago, we were 4-point difference between the cash index and the futures, and we were concerned that April could rally and that spread could rally. Because the front month, as we get closer to expiration, the front month in hogs could catch up with the cash index price. And you know what? Here we are. We had a high today of 71.25 in the April futures, and we were at about 72 at one point in the lean hog. So all of a sudden, we went from a 4-point gap to less than a 1-point gap in the futures versus the cash index. So, so maybe that spread goes up another point, in April versus June. Maybe it pressures April hogs up just a little bit more. But I don't know. I'm starting to think, even with the June, June hogs hitting 80 again, that could cause some selling pressure also. So that's, I just want to touch on that again. And if we do get up to 80 lean hogs, if the April front month futures catches up with the CME lean hog index cash price, that might, to me, fundamentally, that could be a little toppy. So, and that might be the chance to either sell to June or bear spread, maybe do some puts. Whether you're a spec player or definitely a farmer or someone who raises hogs, I know there are a lot of guys who raise hogs on this podcast. And you know what? Quite honestly, I don't care if you're specking or hedging. If you think the market's going to turn around, we'd all be trading on the same information anyway. So. And for the same reason. So I do think if you're a producer, you have something to do with hogs. I would keep an eye on that 80 price for June and how we're, and also that cash index and how the spreads react. So cattle would be the final one. We are getting up close to these highs we saw in early December. Rule with cattle is usually make highs in early spring. And here we are. We're in early spring or just about there. I think the official start of spring is next week. And if we get up to that 120 again, April, which would be in the June equivalent, be about 110. I don't know. I mean, I would start saying, what does the cattle situation look like? Take a look at the cash prices. Are the bids still strong in the country? We have a ton of cattle coming down the line for those placements. So we'll be taking a look at bear spreads and cattle. I still like August 1st, October. I think the tight market now and the kind of tendency to have a spring high is keeping some of those deferred spreads higher, and I'm still a believer in some of those bear spreads I've been writing about in the newsletter. And I would just hold on to it. So that's what we're looking at now. Bearish on crude. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of support now in natural gas, especially with the cold weather. Whether it be looking for kind of tops in the livestock, and then the markets that I follow the most, those corn, wheat, let's call them corn and soybeans. March is just not a very good month for those markets unless there's issues in South America, whether it be quality, when they're harvesting or harvest delays or strikes or something like that, and we're just not getting it. So we're probably going to leak lower in the grains. But keep an eye on that China story. China buying U.S. corn, that's a big one. So Have a great Tuesday. I'll talk to you all on Thursday. And if you ever want to contact me, feel free to do so. Or you can visit me also at turnerstakeag.com or turnerstake.com. Thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.